All right, today is part two of Jezebel Eunuchs, subtitled under Spiritual Warfare and Prayer. Turn to 2 Kings. I will only lift a portion of the scripture that is pertinent to us today. 2 Kings 9, starting in verse 30 to 33. Father, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, enlighten us to your truth. Make us wise, God. In your spirit, be gentle as doves, God. Father, may we see truly today how the enemy has used us and infiltrated us, God, to further her agenda, not yours. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to convict our hearts and cause us to become clean before you. As it was stated before, the time has come where what we have done before is no longer acceptable. We want to be pleasing to your sight, God. I ask in Jesus' name that you do this. Amen. 2 Kings, starting verse 30, says, Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses as he trampled her underfoot. Last week we read the fullness of the scripture so we could keep it contextual as to what is going on in the midst of this. Prophetically, the Jezebel spirit wants to kill the prophetic voice. That is why this house is under such tremendous attack, because of the prophetic mantle that is set upon here, that God has laid upon here. We're speaking truth, and we're speaking future, and we're speaking what the Lord wants done. And so we are not going to shirk from that. We are going to face the battle, and we will win. Amen? Part of this issue here is what is coming. The thing that is happening right now is God is restoring to the church the apostolic ministry, which has been going on for probably the last 10 years. The prophetic ministry has been going on since 1989. And I'm talking about recognized as a viable ministry. It has always been. It's just it's the church has never really embraced these ministries. And for us to be part of what God is doing, it is imperative that we begin to hear what the Spirit is saying, see what the Spirit is doing, and walk after the Spirit as children of the Most High God. Last week we started to see how Jezebel is a spirit that lies, it seduces, it becomes deceptive, and it is a murdering spirit. Okay? That spirit tried to take me out last year. Not on a date, but to destroy this work. And praise God, he would not have any of it. What is being raised up right now is a Jehu spirit within Streams, within NRP. There are people who are functioning in the apostolic that have not recognized their apostolic calling. And that's okay, because the maturing of the saints is more important than a calling. A calling, we said, is what? It's just our job. What God says, it's just our job. Okay, anointing is what? How we flow in that job, okay, through the Holy Spirit. It's real simple, it's not difficult, but the church has not done its job to teach God's people. And one of the things that God has put on my heart is to teach you properly. Teach you properly and be prepared for what is coming. And what is coming is these eunuchs. These eunuchs are coming in and have been in our midst in the church. I'm speaking to the church. Streams is a little bit different. in that we recognize, we tolerate, but that won't be going on for much longer. We are at war, and we will clean the household of God. Judgment starts in the house of God first, before he brings judgment upon the world. we have to understand also the times that we're in. We're in the Davidic restoration of the tabernacle. Kids are learning it right now. What does that mean? That means that the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement, have all been preludes to this Davidic worship, of which there is unashamed worship of God. We have freedom to worship him, to dance, to sing, to play music, to praise him 24/7, and nothing is going to stop that. Nothing. Christ has paid for our sins, and we must recognize that we are still a sinful people that is in need of enlightenment and repentance to get right with him. Enlightenment without repentance separates us from God, because you're still dead in your trespasses and sin. God is presently working against all kinds of evil, and that is what Jehu is going to do. He is going to restore holiness and righteousness to the people of God by ridding it against the evil and sin and perversion that is currently plaguing the Church of Jesus Christ today. And that's what's happening. I'm just telling you the truth. The Lord is now in this process of bringing reformation, transition, and establishing, hear me, establishing the apostolic order into the church. Armed with this knowledge, we have to understand that there are many enemies outside the church, but they are presently in the church. There are people who believe that they're saved, sanctified, and are waiting for Jesus, and live a lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. They are deceived. I hate to tell you, you're deceived. Well, actually, I do like to tell you. Right, that's how you're going to change, because this Spirit will allow you to believe that you're okay. The truth of God says that you're not. And the remedy for that is repentance. Getting right before God, getting it under the blood, and walking in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this, God has given us many examples through the Scripture. He has shown us that through Tobiah in Nehemiah 13, how he was associated, this is a heathen, was associated with the priesthood during the rebuilding of the temple, the second temple. We also see how there are merchandisers, those who do things for a cost. Balaam is a great example of this. You know, he was paid to do what? To prophesy a curse upon the people of God. Do you know that those people, I will refer to them not only as merchandisers, but as witches, Christian witches? Have you ever heard of such stuff? But this is the truth. They operate in witchcraft. And we must pay attention to what is going on here, guys. You know, this is not something. Kim, you understand this. You went to a fellowship. And when you start receiving truth, and I praise God you didn't stand up and rail against them. But once you get truth and you go back into that environment, whether for a visit or whatever, you can understand how they're not. They're watering down the gospel. They are watering it down so that people will give to their ministry. I'm not watering anything down. God's going to give to this ministry. My responsibility is to tell you the truth and encourage you to walk in it. Amen? One of the biggest things that the church has not been doing lately, and it's probably an ace in the devil's armory, is the abortion issue. The abortion issue is such that when you think about 1.6 million babies being destroyed every year, that God's going to hold this nation accountable, and we as the church have not fought the good fight of faith in this. Reason why I say that is because if you have 1.5 million babies being destroyed before they are born, how many fivefold apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were amongst those in the body of Christ that were also destroyed? And because we have not lifted up our voice against this heinous crime, the church has been hamstrung. The church has been lulled to sleep by this Jezebel spirit, making us think that everything's hunky-dory. Why do you think I emphasize you guys going to the mission fields? I emphasize it for the simple reason that when you come out of this comfort zone, you go to a zone where the warfare is real, and you see how 90% of this world lives, it changes your perspective. Do you think about those who are in other lands dying for the name of Jesus Christ, in prison and tortured for the name of Jesus Christ, because this world hates God and hates our Lord Jesus Christ? And it's now starting to turn upon the church. It's now beginning to hate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am dead serious. Today I want us to focus on these eunuchs and how these individuals are used and how they come into the church. A eunuch is a person who has, in early ancient times, were captured men who were castrated by the king. And because they were captured by the king and castrated, they were given the lowliest response, and that was to care for women. Care for the needs of the queen. They lost the ability to procreate. They lost the spiritual ability to have children, spiritual children. And what do we have today in the church? We have men who are no longer in the pulpit. We have women in the pulpit. And I'm not against that, as long as the truth goes forward. But a Jezebel spirit is at war with our church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do these guys function? Well, I'll give you some stuff. We'll go through this quickly, and hopefully we can take care of it all. One, they are messengers. These eunuchs were used to send messages, to do errands, and deliver invitations or letters pertaining to official business. Business of the church, business of family, business of this, business of that. Jezebel sends one of her eunuchs to deliver her message of evil intent to leaders that could be threatening their well-being, livelihood, and character. In other words, what is happening in my household is I am a threat. And if you are not praying for me, nothing's going to happen in your life. Those who pray for the leaders, and this is what Paul said, you know, first thing we should be doing is what? Praying for leaders. Why? Because if leaders can be taken out, Jesus said, you know, the sheep scatter. And I constantly ask the leaders here, will this ministry survive when I am taken out? I fully expect to be taken out. Because what I am sharing with you, nobody is going to share with you. No one's going to tell you the truth about what's happening. The church has been infiltrated by these eunuchs. And because they have infiltrated, and we are now establishing a place in which we do threaten their livelihood, do threaten their character, do threaten their intent upon the church and upon their communities. This is serious, guys. And playing church is not where it's at anymore. You had your day in the sun. Now it's time to get real, as Dan was sharing. You know, the Lord is coming. This is going to be for real. We see this example of what has happened for us in 1 Kings 21, where Jezebel wrote a letter. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and she wrote a letter. He's crying and all, so she writes a letter in his name, inviting him to a party. In the meantime, she conspires with two scoundrels to give a false report. at this banquet and murders him so that Ahab can purchase with blood money this vineyard. I'm not going to tell you the prophetic implications in here. I just want you to understand some basic things. That when you stand up for Jesus Christ and you lay claim to His name, He will hold you to that standard. Because His name's at stake. Not yours. His. So these messengers will come and assault your character, all to murder you. All to kill you. Two, they become representatives. They're ambassadors. We are ambassadors of righteousness in Jesus Christ. You don't think you are, but you are. These ambassadors are agents for evil. And they have similar character traits as Jezebel. They lie like they breathe. You can't tell unless you have a discerning spirit. And I've emphasized how important it is to discern what is going on. It all sounds good, but what is your spirit telling you? Rely on your spirit. These people don't exhibit humility in matters of importance. Some of the areas in which this happens, we can see this reality, is have you ever been invited to a party or a wedding, some formal thing, and you say, I just don't feel like going, and you don't go? That is an influence of Jezebel's spirit, or a eunuch coming into to a spiritual eunuch telling you it's not that important. Well, if it wasn't that important, you wouldn't have been invited. Think about it. You're invited because they have taken the honor to ask you to be a part of something special in their lives. Because you are important. God has said you are important. He invites you to His feast. His wedding feast. One day we will all be caught up. We will be at party with Jesus. And Jesus will serve us. At this point in time, we need to be about His business. We need to be about telling people all about what's going on. And some of us have received the invitation and we refuse to do it. That is a Jezebel spirit. A eunuch that is whispering in your ear that it is not important. What can I do? You know, I'm 13 years of age, you know. You could do a lot. You could do a lot just by doing a prayer walk around your community. The place where you live. Around the block. There are so many things that you can do. You need to get on the program and listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. You've got to believe that you are important. That's why He died. Because you are that important. The way you live matters. You are a representative of His. Eunuchs are students of Jezebel's evil teachings. They learn the evil ways of the Spirit. They learn how to lie. They learn how to use evil techniques. They learn how to deflect truth. They learn how not to even allow truth to enter in. They have an elitist mindset that truth doesn't matter. It's all that matters is the agenda of what's going on. And you see governments today, and our government is one of the worst, that deflects from the truth. It doesn't matter with the truth. I just heard Sebelius say, you know what, the people that are calling for my resignation, I don't work for them. The people that are calling for your resignation are the people of America. And they're calling for your resignation. Who does she work for? What evil spirit is influencing these individuals? I had a talk with an individual the other day and told him that people were saying to me, Pastor, you're just too political. I am not political. I hate the spirit that is influencing our government into unrighteousness. Scripture says when the wicked rule, the people are in anguish. But when we're righteous, when the righteous rule, the people are at peace. Do you think we're at peace? So who's ruling? And it is the church's responsibility to be out there combating it. If you do not vote, you are just as guilty as those outside the church who doesn't vote. Because your vote matters. Because you're standing up. You say, I have the right by the founding fathers to give my say to this. Yay and amen to this, or no. Not to is not an option. That's the one thing I do agree with the Democrats. Get your voting card. Go vote. It's the only thing I agree with them. As I said, they lie. They dismiss the truth. They do everything to confound God's agenda. Four, they're her spiritual children. And by being their spiritual children, they can't do anything without her approval. Well, let's face it, those of us that are parents, we see that our kids really want to do things to honor us. Being a spiritual parent, our kids want to honor me and do what's right in the things that of God. Well, in a natural, we can see that kids really want to honor their parents and do whatever. They don't want to disappoint, and neither do these eunuchs. They don't want to disappoint her. And so what they do is they go over the top to propagate her agenda. Whatever that is, it's coming in against you right now. Five, they are her attendants. They are so controlled that it's like they're like five-star waiters. And most of us have gone to really nice restaurants and where the waiter seems to be a pain in the butt. He's always, can I get you this? Do you need anything? How's your meal so far? I mean, they're always attending to all this stuff. That's what these Jezebel spirits do. They are not submitted to spiritual authority except hers. They can't do anything without her approval. They can't think. They can't. They're just mindless. They have no power within themselves. And that's what a eunuch is. They don't have power. They are sentinels and guards. Their main function is to be alert, to defend, and protect the Jezebel of impending danger or direct harm. Their loyalty is so fierce to her that they will run interference, even die for her. We had the team Toms come in, and they asked the guys, I had said to the guys, I said, you know, come here and start picking their brains. And one of the things that they said they had asked our men was, would you take a bullet for your pastor? Would you take a bullet for me? This is serious. Because we were talking about some issues that are going to happen in our church. These men carry in service. Because when these eunuchs come in, they will come in to kill me. Are you willing to take a bullet for me? Like Secret Service agents do for the president. This is how serious it is. This isn't churchianity. This is real warfare. These eunuchs are intelligence officers. What they do is they go out and they try to find information. And then they bring it back. Because that's one of Jezebel's main cogs in which she functions, is what is your weakness? And what they will do is they will find out what this information is, and then they will exploit your weakness to bring you under control of her. So that you don't function in true spiritual authority, true spiritual power. I know, you're still chewing on taking a bullet. I pray you guys would take a bullet for me. Because I would take it for you. No matter what. They are completely devoted. This word devote is a Latin word, means devolvere. It's D-E plus V-O-V-E-R-E. It means to vow. These eunuchs are devoted or set apart like a priest is set apart and dedicated to Jezebel. Who are you set apart to? Do you not know you are set apart in Jesus Christ? I'm getting real quiet. I'm going to bring question into where you are at. You see, this Jezebel spirit has used people to come in and say to you, it's not that bad. You know, Halloween's not a bad gig, you know. A lot of candy. I have sweet tooth too, man. Let's go out and get some. We've been to friends of ours who decorated Christmas tree and Halloween stuff, haven't we? And we look at it and we're like, our spirits are so wrought. Like, and you name the name of Jesus Christ and you decorate death over and above life? God, so deceived. They're devoted. And so are you. You should be devoted. You should be willing to give your life to Jesus Christ no matter what. Your first thought should be, what can I do for you, Lord? Not the last thing. We don't run to the Jesus fire thing and bust it and take the hose out and put our fires out. We should not have any fires. We should walk through the fires of hell that is set against us, but nothing will harm us. Like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They are armor bearers. What they do, they're like the knights of old. They run around and they act in carrying her weapons and load her up for war. Part of her weaponry is the information that you give to her or she takes from you to use you to put you into bondage. Because you don't believe the word of God, you don't believe the truth, you become susceptible to her influence. And the church is asleep. The church is asleep. Not ours. We're getting beat up every which way and all. But you know what? We win. We have the victory. I have people telling me, Pastor, you got to take it easy. You know, you're not fully healed yet of this attack. Have you ever read the scripture where Paul says, I beat my body into submission. I make it do what I want it to do. Do you give into your body? Oh, I'm just so tired. Holly asked me today, how are you doing? Really? Yeah. I'm tired. Mentally, physically, emotionally. You know, just because it's my sister-in-law doesn't mean or diminish the effect upon me. You know, I'm in this with my wife. You are in it with us. This is how it works. They're spiritually impotent. They are unable or unable to reproduce spiritual children. I know of a case. We had this young lady visit us. And she was named to Christ and all this other stuff. And I just felt that, you know, it just wasn't right. Later on, I found the testimony was she's under control of a Jezebel spirit. You see, just because they say they're of Christ doesn't make it so. Just because you name the name of Jesus and you know all the church lexicons and language and stuff doesn't make it so. How are we to judge? By fruit. And if you got bad fruit, guess what? You're a bad tree. And God will cut you down. It's His word, not mine. I'm the guy that's standing there saying, give me another season, Lord. Maybe they'll repent. Maybe we'll be able to help them. Maybe they'll be able to see. What's coming is not pretty, guys. It's not pretty. God wants His children strong, full of spiritual power and might, to destroy the works of the devil. Jezebel's eunuchs are weak and totally dependent upon Jezebel. They only do what she tells them to do. Here's the biggest one that a eunuch uses on us. And we hear it whisper in our ear. I just don't feel like it. Have you ever used that? I just don't feel like it. Whatever it is, I just don't feel like it. And then you don't. We have learned a long time ago, just because we don't feel like it doesn't make it right. Because in that, if we get into that temptation of not participating in it, we miss a blessing. An opportunity to minister to somebody. An opportunity to be ministered by somebody. Because I didn't want to go to a wedding. I didn't feel like going to a meeting. I didn't want to go and just praise God. I just didn't want to. And if that plagues your thought life, understand it's from this eunuch, this demon that is trying to keep you from becoming that which God has created you to be. And I'll keep repeating this over and over. You are kings and priests. You are the most powerful people on this planet until Jesus comes. Last thing that they do is they're chamberlains. A chamberlain is a person who takes care of the bedchambers. Okay? Does everything. Straightens up. Puts the clothes away, cleans up all the waste and stuff, takes care of the needs. It is also prophetically the most intimate place that people meet. It's the most intimate relationship. Private conversations, intimate conversations are at home. And when you see in the scripture where she was looking out the window, and we said last week that painting her face was really this deception that she put on. She put this mask on to deceive, like everything's cool. Do you know people who when you're walking out the door and they're screaming cats and dogs, and we go beat on the door, hey, pastor's here. Oh, all of a sudden everything's great, fine. You ever have that? You ever visit your family, your friends, and I mean, there's times Irene and I said, maybe we shouldn't go up. And I'm like, yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should go visit. You know? We're human. And things happen. But in our humanness, we are spiritual giants. We don't have it all together. We're not perfect. But I'm not going to let the enemy tell you lies. And you think it's okay. It's not okay. Revelation 2. Turn there quickly. We're going to finish. Revelation 2, verse 19 through 23 says, I know your works. This is the Lord Jesus saying. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you have allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. What's he saying here? Jesus is saying, real simple, they were not committed to me. They committed themselves to you because you told them a lie. Sexual immorality, and what he's talking about, is spiritual immorality. We have become whores chasing after some other lover, not chasing after the lover of our soul. And this infuriates him. And he says, you know, because she has done this, he says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. She did not. Indeed, I will cast her into a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. That word tribulation means sustained pressure. It's no getting out from under it. He is going to put you under pressure and squeeze you so bad that you wish you rolled over and died. But guess what? He's not going to let you. You put pressure on His people, He's going to squeeze you and you're going to wish for death, and it's not going to happen until you repent. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give each one according to their works. Is He playing? He's not playing. Why are we playing church? Why are we pretending that we're okay? We're not. There's such big holes in our lives, in our hearts, that we forget to go to the Lord Jesus Christ to fill it. I've said to you before, we're leaky vessels. We need to constantly be filled up by Him and His Spirit and His power, so we don't get tempted to chase after other demons, go after other religious things. We're in a relationship with the Most High God. We are going to a wedding feast. And we are the honorees. We honor Him by living a life of death continuously. Not doing what we want. Lining up our lives so that His kingdom can expand. Wednesday we talked a lot about tithing, and tithing is so deep. And the one thing I wanted people to come away with is, if you do not tithe, you put yourself under a curse. You continue to be under a curse. And that is not our Father's heart. And I said to an individual, I said, you need to go to your Father and see what He wants you to do. Because this individual says, you know my problems, you know where I'm at. He does. But I'm not the one making the rules. He's the one making the rules. You're in relationship to Him. The Holy Spirit is admonishing both Jezebel and the eunuchs and all those who are being seduced by her in the fornications. Like Jehu, the Holy Spirit is shouting to them to consider their ways and to stop. Stop doing what they're doing and stop serving this spirit. Today is the day of the Lord's salvation. Today is the day to seek and find forgiveness. And all of us are guilty. All of us. You may say, man, I'm not. Here's one. Try this one on for size. 1 John 1, 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You can't have it both ways. Every one of us have been seduced from one time or another by these eunuchs, these demons. And we put on this religious face, pretending that everything is okay with us. Everything is fine. But Jesus gave us a simple way to see what's fine and what's not fine. And that's judging your fruit of your life. And my leaders know. They've been in meetings with me where people have said, well, this, that, and all. What do you think, Pastor? Bad fruit. We're not doing nothing. Bad fruit. We'll let the Holy Spirit do what He's got to do. I'm not getting involved in unsanctified mercy. No way. I've taken many a beating to learn that lesson. It doesn't make people entitled because they're in need. There are ways that God wants us to operate as His family, as His house, so that it would be bread in His house for His children when they have need, not for the world. This is the type of commitment, this covenantal relationship that we're in. And when we're doing our own thing, we are committing spiritual adulteries with Jezebel. And this is the reason why some are sick, some are even close to death. This is why God's not blessing your life. This is why things aren't working out. This is why you lose jobs, can't get jobs. You can't do this, can't do that. You're always on this treadmill. You need to sit by His feet and do what He says to do. I'm not telling you to do anything other than what he tells you to do. If you have done that, if you have repented of that, praise God, and you're moving into things of God, praise God. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day for you to get clean. Today is to cut off Jezebel from working in your life and allowing these demons to influence your life. Today's the day to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Father, I've given them your word. Father, I've spoken how you told me to tell them this, the truth of your word, God. And Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you work upon their hearts. That those areas that they have given into or being tempted to give into, God, that they would rebuke the devourer and they would use your name in power and might to overcome. That, Father, where they have been given in a place, God, that they have given into that, they would repent, get under the blood, so that they would be clean. Father, where sickness and disease and heartache and all has visited them, Lord, and they're looking at others as to why things are being happening in their lives and why they're being blessed. God, I just pray right now that they begin to do the things that you've told them to do, God. That they would be right with you, God. That you would bless them. That they would no longer be the tail, but they would be the head. That they would be a lender to the nations, God. That they would be ones to go to the nations and tell them the truth of Jesus Christ. And be those who are willing to take a bullet for you, God. God, as we go into this building, Father, that reality is going to be ours. That everyone in that facility, God, that comes, would have to be willing to take a bullet for you. Because they're already dead. They just don't know it. They don't know that they've been laid on a cross. And now they have a life. And that life is Jesus Christ. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for enlightening us. I thank you for teaching us. And I pray that I be humble. That you would continue to teach me and continue to give me those things to edify your people, to encourage your people, to move forward in the things of the kingdom, God. Because now the reality of it is it's here. It's not that it's going to get real. It is real today. I ask, God, that you really move upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.